Well, we thank the Lord for Jesus. I want to speak tonight about how precious Jesus is. I want to go first to 1 Peter chapter 2. I thank the Lord that I know Jesus. He's my friend. He's my Savior. He's my strength. He's my joy. My happiness, my treasure, my riches. Oh, thank the Lord for Jesus. If I could just tell it like I feel it. Like one writer says, the whole world would turn to... Well, anyway, it'd be wonderful. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye taste it, that the Lord is gracious. I like that word gracious. It's a sweet word. Gracious. And when you think of gracious, it's someone that's tender, loving, kind, helpful, patient, gentle, enjoyable, sweet. You think about a lot of things. If so be ye have tasted. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Another scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I tell you, dear ones, there's lots of lovely, nice people in the world that love the Lord. But when it comes to who is the most precious, there's no question. This man, Jesus, is the most precious man that ever lived, and he is eternal. He is our Savior. He will save us from this old world of sin. Nothing else can do that. No. No one else could have paid the price. Paid the price for our salvation. He went and shed his blood for us. We were lost and undone. Without God, we was without hope. But Jesus came and took our place and offered his life as a sacrifice to save our souls from eternal damnation. That's why he's so precious. He's the best friend you'd ever have. He's the most wonderful treasure you'd ever possess. Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord. I'm happy in Jesus. I am happy in him. He is mine. I love that song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. You like that song? That's a wonderful song. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. I gave them all up to get Jesus. He was worth it all. He was worthwhile giving up all this world, lust and greed and pleasure and all these things. It's worthwhile to get Jesus in your heart and life. Oh, may the Lord help us. I would that somehow we could just prevail. First Peter now. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, ye also as lively stones. Praise the Lord. Who made you a lively stone? That means you're someone that's strong and steadfast and unmovable, and yet you are sweet and tender and kind and loving. Isn't that wonderful? That's a lively stone. Build up a spiritual house. What's so wonderful that Jesus is because he's a spiritual person. Now you take a carnal person, a fleshly minded person, they're not very nice to be around. But here's Jesus, he's not a carnal person, he was a spiritual person. He gave his life. He let people kill him. And he didn't try to stop them, and he could have stopped them at any point. But he just let them do it. Why did he do it? Why did he let people treat him like that? It was to save you and me from sin and evil and damnation. Now, isn't that precious? Isn't that wonderful? Do you believe it? Do you believe that such a thing happened? Do you believe there was a man that came down from the skies? He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary and brought forth as a little baby. He was a precious little baby. We love to think about it. He grew up as a godly person. When he was 12 years old, he was in the temple with the doctors and talking to them. And his mother and Joseph thought he was somewhere with the kin, and they started back home, and they got up there and they found out he wasn't with them. They had to go back, and they found him in the temple talking to the doctors, asking them questions and answering some of their questions. He was the Son of God. That's why he is so precious. He wasn't a fleshly person like you and I, but yet he was brought forth as a human being. But he never sinned. He never did wrong. He was not proud. He was not lustful. He was not selfish. He was not covetous. And we don't know anything about him much. Don't really hear much about him after his 12-year-old there. And they came back and he was subject to his parents. But when he was 30 years old, he made his appearance. John the Baptist. He was kind of a cousin to his mother. His mother was a cousin to Jesus' mother. Anyway, he was called of God to go out and prepare the hearts of people to receive the Savior. Wasn't that a wonderful thing? I love to study about that. John the Baptist preaching out there on the Jordan River, baptizing people, getting them ready to receive the Son of God when he comes. And one day, here Jesus came and told John he wanted to be baptized of him. Oh, baptized, John said, I ought to be baptized by you. And you come to me? Jesus said, let it be thus so, for so it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And they went down into the water, and John baptized the Son of God. And they come up out of the water, and what happened? He was precious, wasn't he? A beautiful white dove descended from the heavens, the Holy Spirit, and lit on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my well-beloved Son. And the people, know, I just wondered, people that heard that voice and saw that, how could they? It was just marvelous. And then he was taken out into the wilderness. The Spirit of God moved him right away to leave and off into the wilderness for 40 days. Didn't eat or drink. Fasted, praying, looking to God. And at the end of the 40-day fast, the devil came to him with temptation. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to turn into bread. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He resisted that temptation. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. He was hungry. Devil said, you're the Son. Command these stones, turn into bread. Then he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and said, now you jump down. For it is written, and the devil quoted scripture, it is written, he'll give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they'll bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus says, it is written again. It also says, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. You don't put him to the test. He resisted that temptation. And then the devil took him to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world that passed by in a moment of time. And the devil said, these are all mine. I can do with them what I want. And if you'll bow down and worship me, it'll all be yours. What did Jesus say? It is written, shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He was faithful. He was triumphant in temptation. That's why he's so precious. He never yielded to any wrong. He never hurt anyone. He didn't have any hatred, no bitterness. And as he got back from his time of temptation in the wilderness, he started his ministry. He chose his apostles, his followers, and they went about doing good. Isn't it wonderful all the good things the Lord did? I love to read about them. I just love to read about them. One man came to him, or sent word to him, to come and heal his little daughter. She was very sick. And so he started. And as he walked along, and the people crowded him, people followed him here and there. They loved to see him heal. He healed all kinds of people. He was good to people. He healed me. He healed me. I was a sinner. I was undone, and he healed me. He changed me. And as he walked along, the people crowded him. There was a little woman in the crowd that had a terrible bleeding problem. She was bleeding in her body. She had been, it'd been going on for 12 years. She'd sought the doctors and tried to get it all fixed, and nothing worked, and she just worse. Saw Jesus and she thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be well. She pushed her way through the crowd. She reached over and touched the hem and whoop! She felt in her body she was well. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? I've thought about that a lot. You know, Jesus, he felt that healing go out of him. I think he knew who it was. The woman saw she wasn't to be healed, and she come and confessed what happened. He said, woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you believe. And about that time, someone stepped up and said, no use to bother the master any farther. The little girl is gone. She died. Jesus, what did he say? Only believe. She'll still be all right. So he moved right on. He got down there, went in with the mother and father and his three disciples, took the little girl by the hand. You know, I had a book given to our family. I wish I could give one to every family. It was a story of Jesus that a man wrote, and he did a good job telling about all these things. And I remember reading that when I was a little boy. It had an effect upon me. Precious Jesus. I had a Sunday school teacher. Her name was Ozell White. I was just a little boy in her Sunday school class here at Guthrie over in the old chapel. She told us about Jesus. It impressed my mind. She would weep sometimes when she was telling us about Jesus and what he had done. Oh, dear one, Jesus is wonderful. If you want somebody that you can enjoy and that be a treasure to you, you need Jesus. He's the best you'll ever have. Ain't that right, Brother Gordon?
Yes, sir.
He's the best friend I've ever had. Me too. Amen, brother. I tell you, dear ones, Jesus is wonderful. If you're trying to get things out of this old world and all of its folly and all of its pride and vanity and lust, and you're trying to get the old television and internet and all this junk this people are feeding, you're just feeding off the trash. You need Jesus. Jesus can mean more to you than anything and anyone else. Oh, just think about Jesus. Think about that man that had legions of devils in him, laying out among the tombs in the graveyard. No clothes on, just running around, just full of the devil. Jesus came by. And that man, the devil stirred up in him and said, "What are we to do with you, you son of God? You come to torment us before the time." And Jesus says, "I command you, evil devils, out of that man." And they said, well, let us go into the herd of swine. That's strange. But Jesus let them go. And they went into a herd of 2,000 swine. And it caused all of them to run down the steep into the sea and drowned every one of them. But the man that had the devils was over here sitting at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? He was free. He was normal. He was happy. His mind was clear. He had clothes on. Oh, dear ones, I love to read the story of Jesus, don't you? I love to read it. I believe it. He was a wonderful Savior, a wonderful physician. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Unto you, therefore, which believe, 1 Peter 2 and 7, He is precious. Oh, let's think about how he went on from there. Oh, I want to tell that man. He told Jesus, he said, "Jesus, I want to go with you." What did Jesus tell him to do? No, he says, what you need to do is go back home and tell everybody about what the Lord's done. You know what that man did? He went and covered a 10-city region. He had quite a bit to do, didn't he? But that he had something to tell. Has the Lord done anything for you? What has the Lord done for me? I was burdened with sin when I came unto him, and he hearkened to my earnest plea. With the blood from his side, he my soul satisfied. All this has the Lord done for me. Jesus is precious. He went on. The time came. And he told his disciples, "We're going down to Jerusalem. And there, I'm going to be crucified. But I'll rise the third day." He told them. He told them what was coming. And I love to read about his journey down there. Wonderful how he blessed people and helped people. Helped the little boy that had the devil in him and healed him. And just good old Zacchaeus climbed up in the sycamore tree, wanted to have a good look at him as he went by. Jesus knew who he was. He told us, "Come on down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to your house today." Oh, dear ones, Jesus is precious. Went on down to Jerusalem. He came into Jerusalem. He sent for a donkey to ride coming into Jerusalem. And the people was hailing him and throwing down clothes to walk on. And But in just a few days, he was taken out and nailed to the cross. It's a sad story. But he let them do that. He could have stopped them. Peter tried to rise up and defend him, took a sword and cut one of the men's ear off, trying to defend Jesus. Jesus said, "Peter, put up your sword. All they that take the sword will perish with the sword. Don't you know, he says, I could pray to my Father and he had sent me 12 legions of angels. But how will the scriptures be fulfilled? He was doing the will of God. I want to read you one of the most precious scriptures, if there is such a thing, and they're all precious. Philippians 2 and 5. I can quote it. It's so real. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. What does that mean? In the Greek it says, who being in the form of God did not count equality with God to be held on to, but he emptied himself. He became down in form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Did you know the death of the cross is the awfulest death that you could ever die? To be hung up by nails on a cross, on a wooden cross, after being beaten and lacerated on the back, and a crown of thorns pushed down on his head. Now they've got him hung up there. The Jewish leaders are the ones prevailed to get this done. They should have been God's people, but they were against God's Son. They had hatred and murder in their hearts. And Jesus just let them do it. He just let them. They took him. He didn't try to stop. He didn't try to get out of their grasp. He just let them have his hands. Drive the nails through, blood gushing out, blood streaming down from the crown of thorns on his head. And they put this cross up, and with it was two thieves that were hanging on crosses. He was like a criminal, treated like a criminal. Why did he do it? He did it for you and for me. To save us from our sins. To redeem us. To pay the penalty for our ungodliness. And we've all been guilty of it. That's why he's so precious. Nobody else could ever do it. He's the only one. How precious is Jesus, my Savior and King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To him in my weakness for strength I will cling. For he is so precious to me. You know that song? It's a good song. Been a lot of good songs written about Jesus. And then what else does it say? Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. After he went down to the depth of suffering and shame and humiliation and disgrace, God brought him up from the grave. The women went on that Sunday morning to anoint his body in the tomb. They got there, he was out of the tomb. The angel told him, said, he's risen. He began to appear to his disciples. He appeared with them and went with them for 40 days. He was alive. Isn't that wonderful? He died, but now he's alive. Glory! God raised him from the dead. He would disappear and appear. He was immortal, and yet he still had a human-like body. He even asked him to give him something to eat, and he ate some food for him before him. Oh, they couldn't hardly understand it. Old Thomas said, they told him, we've seen the Lord. He said, except I shall see the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. And the next time the Lord came there, There was Thomas in the midst, and he said, "Come here, Thomas. Reach hither your hand and touch mine." Can't you imagine Thomas is looking at Jesus? "Come on, Thomas, put your hand in my side. Be not faithless, but believing." What did Thomas say? "My Lord and my God." You know, Thomas was no longer doubting Thomas after that night or that day. And tradition tells us that in India, he laid his life down for the Master. He was killed. He was not crucified, but he was martyred for the Lord. Don't you know he was precious to those disciples? As they watched and as they listened to him. Then finally he told them, said, "I'm going back to heaven, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." Isn't that wonderful? I thought a lot about that. He arose from the dead. He appeared to his disciples for 40 days. And then, as they out by the hill, Olivet, out there by Bethany, as he was talking to him, all of a sudden he just started going up. They watched him as he went up higher, higher. And finally a cloud took him out of their sight. They kept looking up, wanting to see him one more time. And then two angels appeared. "You men of Galilee, why stand ye looking up into heaven? This same Jesus that you see going into heaven will come again in like manner."
Praise the Lord.
He's coming again.
Amen.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Amen.
I'm so happy. I'm a rich person. Not in this old world. I don't want it. The Lord takes care of us and gives us our needs. But I've got wealth and riches untold. Amen, that's good. You know, dear ones, he disappeared out of their sight. He told them where he was going. He's going back to the Father. And the scripture, 110th Psalm, speaks about the Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." So they knew, according to the scriptures, and Peter quoted that in his message on the day of Pentecost, they knew that Jesus had gone to the right hand of God to intercede for them. Think about that. He is at the right hand of God tonight on our behalf. You can go to him. You can pray to him. I feel sorry for people that don't pray. I don't know how in the world they... I could try to do without it, but I wouldn't make it very good. But you know what? I pray, and the Lord hears, and I commune with the Lord. He's there interceding for me and for you. He's the best friend you'll ever have. He's not way off high in the heavens, 10 million miles away. He's right here in the Spirit. Not far off. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies. I gave up those old worldly things. I gave up those old fleshly desires. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. Did you know that song? My Jesus, I love thee was written by a young teenage boy, William Featherstone. He had just gotten saved, and he wrote the words to that song. It's one of my favorite songs. I love to sing it. He's our Savior. He's our precious friend. He's at the right hand of God. If you don't know him and have contact, I feel sorry for you. I wish I could help you. But you have to seek after it. You have to call upon Him. You have to have a desire. You have to be willing to give up your ways. No one is going to be worthy of Jesus if they hold on to their own ways, because He gave up His life. Now He wants you to give up yours so that you and Him can be together. Oh, how precious is our Lord and Savior. Got another scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1 this time. I thank the Lord for Peter's writings. It's precious. He was one of the Lord's disciples, and he's writing this epistle. Let's see. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. One of these days, we don't know when, He's coming. He's going to come back from His place in heaven. And when He comes, according to 2 Peter 3, when He comes, this whole world is going to melt like that. The great noise, it's going to just pass away. All these seats and all this building, all these cars, and trucks and airplanes, everything's just going to just whoop, gone just like that. That's what's going to happen when He comes. And He's going to call all humanity that ever lived to a meeting of judgment. He's going to be the judge. Those who have loved Him and worshipped Him and followed Him and served Him and accepted His salvation and will walk in holiness and righteousness before Him, He will take them to a better world, a new heaven, a new earth. I don't know how all it's going to be. But I want to tell you, dear ones, if you're without Jesus, you don't have Him. You might think you have something, but you don't have Him. Because it's all going to perish. Money, housing, car, all this stuff's going to just go boom. Whom having not seen, I want to get this verse. Whom having not seen, you love. Do you love Jesus? Oh, I tell you, dear ones, he's a wonderful person to love. He's good. He's been good to me. He's been real to me. He lives in my heart so sweetly. He helps me to overcome temptation, burdens, problems, trials, sorrow, heartache, all these things. He has been with us all the way. He gave me a good, godly wife. We've been happy, happy, happy. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to serve Jesus. Do you believe Him? Whom having not seen, ye love. No, you don't have to see Him with these old fleeting mortal eyes. You don't have to see Him. You can see Him with the eyes of understanding and faith. Spiritual eyes. You've got spiritual eyes you need to get on Jesus. Whom having not seen, ye love. In Him, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Live for Jesus, young people. Give your heart and live for Him in this life. You won't have anything that'll equal what He will equal be to you. Jesus is real. He's coming soon. He's going to come and call us all to meet Him, judgment.
Don't you want to be on that right hand with him? I want to be there. I want to be faithful to him. I love Jesus. He is my friend. That's another song that's so wonderful. What a friend we have in Jesus. Written by a man that lived in Ireland. He was getting ready to be married to a young woman. And the day before they were to be married, she drowned right before his eyes. Drowned in a pool somewhere. He left there. He was so heartbroken. He left there and he went to Canada. And he met some people over there that was a nice family, and he was with them, and they had a daughter, and he fell in love with her, and they were going to get married, and before they could get married, she died. And he was just heartbroken. He finally, he just consecrated his life to the Lord, and he just went out and he offered himself to help poor people. And he never charged for his work. He was busy. He had this to do and that to do. People needed his help. And he didn't charge them anything. Of course, they would give him a little bit to help. But he was just wanting to live for Jesus. And one of the merchants in the town noticed him going about doing all this good. And he thought, I'll use that fellow. I'll get him to work some for me. And somebody told him, says, "You'll never get him to work for you, because all he does is help the poor people, and he does that. He won't do it for anything else." One day, he was ill, and his minister came to visit him. And while his minister was there visiting and praying with him, he noticed on the little table by his bed, writing. He picked it up. "Where'd you get this?" What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege! Oh, I love that song. Isn't it a privilege that we have to go to the Lord in prayer? Do you do it enough? Oh, you need to live constantly in communion. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Wonderful Jesus. My heart was so full. I just wanted to share with you this wonderful preciousness of Christ Jesus. Won't it be wonderful to see him face to face? Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face. How can it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. May the Lord help us. Our Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, dear God, for giving us your Son. We thank you for sending him down into this world. And Lord Jesus, we'll thank you for what you've done, for what you did in obeying the Father, going to the cross. And Father, we thank you for bringing him out from the dead, from the grave, and setting him at your own right hand in the heavenly places. Being there as our intercessor, our high priest, that we can go to in prayer at the throne of grace. We thank you. I pray that you'd help all of us, everyone in this house. If there's anyone here that hasn't got a vision and haven't got a drawing to you, Lord, I pray that you would work with their hearts. Because we're glad to say that we have found that there's not a friend like Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for this wonderful salvation and our wonderful precious Jesus. Amen.